This is the 24th in our series of studies in the book of Daniel, but we have for the past, well, it will be three sessions now, ventured into an expansion of the resurrection and judgment text in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. And I have mentioned before that this is something of a, from my viewpoint, a tentative study. I do not remember seeing any place where any kind of article or in a book where the major resurrections and judgments of Scripture are laid out together along with the individuals that would be subject to them. So this is somewhat provisional, but I think it is good to cover this text in connection with Daniel, and also to provoke us to think about something that probably most of us have not thought about before. I think that most Christians think about the resurrection of Christians or the direct translation of Christians from earth to the presence of the Lord as described in 1 Thessalonians 4, where some living believers will be taken at the end of this church age, and also believers who have died during this age will be resurrected. We think of that, and that is something that we look forward to as believers, at least we should. And then we think of the Great White Throne judgment in Revelation 20, but there are two more resurrections, and I would consider them major resurrections, and two more judgment points in Scripture. So it's the resurrection and judgment picture is, I believe, quite complicated. And in addition to that, concerning some groups, we do not have information at all about when they will be judged or resurrected. So you'll recall that we identified four major resurrections. First of all, 1 Thessalonians 4 for Christians in this age. And by the way, this age is the only time when there would be Christians. Abraham was a believer, but not a Christian. And there will be, during the 70th week of Daniel and the kingdom, there will be believers. I do not believe that they will be identified as Christians. And then the second major resurrection, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, which I think is the resurrection of Jews of all ages just before the kingdom, Jews saved and unsaved. And then the first resurrection, the third major resurrection, in the first resurrection of Revelation chapter 20, of believers martyred during the 70th week of Daniel. And that's very specific as to who the subjects are. And then Revelation 20 described right after that the Great White Throne resurrection and judgment. And then we identified four main judgments, two of which occur with two of the main resurrections. First of all, the judgment seat of Christ, apparently following directly after the rapture of the church. Although Scripture does not exactly say when it will occur, but I think we can make that connection that there is resurrection of believers and then the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5. Second major judgment is our Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 passage, which has both resurrection and judgment. And then the sheep and goats parable of Matthew, and we will look at that in fairly great detail today at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, the beginning of the kingdom, and then also the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20. The sheep and the goats involves the nations primarily. There are other resurrections in Scripture. I do not consider them major. For instance, the resurrection of Lazarus, but it was reversed by apparently his subsequent death and then he would be, I believe, raised with the church. And then other individuals that we have very little information about with regard to, or no information about judgment, Enoch and Elijah, for example, and the thief on the cross, where Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," implies some kind of resurrection and maybe a skipping of judgment. He would go directly to his reward in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So those are the four major passages on judgment, on resurrection and judgment. And then recall that we identified nine groups, and our task is to fit each of these groups into those resurrections and judgments. So we had, first of all, Gentiles saved before Pentecost. If you have your notes, it's page 5. Gentiles saved before Pentecost. That would include Abel, Noah, and Melchizedek, anyone saved up to the time of Abraham. Now, this is not correct. That would have to be Jews saved before Pentecost. Anyone saved up to Pentecost. So there's a clear mistake. Secondly, Jews saved before Pentecost. You have Abraham and his descendants. That one is fairly easy to identify as a class. A third group, Jews and Gentiles saved during the church age, that's where we are today, all Christians. A fourth group, Jews and Gentiles saved during the 70th week of Daniel, but who didn't die then and live to go into the kingdom. When are they? Presumably they would die in the kingdom. And the question would be, when do they get raised and judged? A fifth group, Jews and Gentiles who were saved and martyred during the 70th week of Daniel. And we do have information about their resurrection, but nothing about their judgment. Now, a sixth group, Jews and Gentiles who were saved but died natural deaths during the 70th week. Now recall that the rapture takes all believers off the earth at the end of this church age. So anyone in this sixth group, Jews and Gentiles saved but died natural deaths during the 70th week, they would live as believers no longer than 7 years, because they would become believers. The longest living believers in the 70th week would be, if they died during the 70th week, would have been believers for no longer than 7 years. And then a seventh group, Jews and Gentiles saved during the kingdom, but they die during the kingdom. When do they get resurrected and judged? And then similarly, number eight, group eight, Jews and Gentiles saved during the kingdom, but they are still alive at the end. They get saved toward the end of the 1,000 years, but they're still alive. When would they be? Would they need resurrection? Apparently not, because they would still be alive by the end of the 1,000 years, but would they face some kind of judgment? They are believers. And then a ninth group, Jews and Gentiles, never saved all the way back to creation. So that would be unbelievers who are not part of a group that gets judged, raised and judged. Well, we started then to look at some basic principles concerning resurrection and judgment. The first having to do with the church, the body of Christ starting at Pentecost. The body of Christ is completed at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with the resurrection of believers who die during this age, and the believers who are alive at that point going directly to be with the Lord. So clear information on that. Then observation number two, we have to get Abraham and other Jews up to Pentecost into the kingdom promised to Abraham, so they would have to be raised before the kingdom. And I think that Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 would take care of that, and appears to be, Daniel 12, 2 appears to be only for Jews in context. And then point number three, observation number three, we said that after creation, before Pentecost, two groups of believers, Jews and Gentiles. Before Abraham, who was the first Jew, you had only Gentile believers, but these would include Abel, Noah, Melchizedek. When would they be raised? No direct information about that. Compare that with what 1 Thessalonians 4 says about Christians who die during this age. Very clearly they are raised, go to be with the Lord. But what about believers before Abraham, such as Abel, Noah, Melchizedek? When do they get raised? When do they get judged? And similarly, believers after, Gentile believers after Abraham, such as Rahab and the Ninevites who were converted through the ministry of Jonah, when do they get raised and judged? And then fourth, the fourth observation point, we spent a lot of time on this, that is the resurrection of martyred Christians who died for the Lord, in service to the Lord, during the 70th week of Daniel. Let's read that text again. I won't go into it in detail, as we did last time. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. So they resisted the beast and were killed for that in the 70th week of Daniel. They came to life, that is, they were resurrected, and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That parenthesis to come now in verse 5 is very important. It's as if John was saying, by the way, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. And then John says, I will continue, in a sense he's saying, I will continue to talk about this martyr group. This is the first resurrection. So John has, in Revelation 20, two resurrections. The martyred believers, they're the first. They go in the first resurrection. The second resurrection will be the great white throne judgment. That parenthesis is very important. There is no parenthesis in the Greek text, but it is the parenthetical idea. Is the idea of a parenthesis is present in the meaning of the words. Then a fifth observation. So this is, we had stopped with the first resurrection in Revelation 20 last time. So new for today, point number five of our observations. Who was raised at the great white throne judgment? Let's read that text. And I've not reproduced it at this point for you, but earlier in the study. And here's what John says. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. So this is occurring at the end of the kingdom during an apparent transition period to the new heavens and the new earth, because in verse 21, in chapter 21, verse 1, John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So this is comes at the very end of the life of lifespan of this earth as we know it. Verse 12 of Revelation 20, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne." So there are two problems for the purposes of this study with the great white throne judgment. First problem, are believers present at this judgment? And the second issue is what Gentiles will be judged? What unbelievers will be judged? What unbelievers will be judged? Let me state those again. Two problems. Will believers, are there any groups of believers in those nine groups of people, are there any believers who will be judged, raised and judged for this great white throne judgment? And secondly, what unbelievers will be judged here? So verse 12, again, "I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done." Who's the each person? What groups would that apply to? "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." The lake of fire is the second death. "If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Again, two questions. You have the book of life here. Does that suggest that, and I take it to be the list of the elect of all ages, does that mean that some of the elect will appear at this judgment time, be resurrected, or come from the end of the kingdom, still be alive and be judged? And then what unbelieving individuals will be judged at this point? So let's launch into that in a little more detail. The text of Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15 that we've just read, seems at first sight to be talking about only unbelievers. So most interpreters see the passage as applying only to the unsaved dead of all ages. This would make sense, except for the fact that the passage tells us that the book of life is opened and checked. This would suggest that there's a separation between two groups at this second resurrection here in Revelation 20. That is, the book of life is present to show who appearing at this judgment has his name in the book of life, elect, and who's not in that book. We also have the problem that it's difficult, as I've said, to account for the time of and the resurrection, the time of the resurrection and judgment of some in our nine groups. The presence of the book containing the names of the elect and the lack of information about the judgment and resurrection of some of the groups. So, for instance, believers alive at the end of the kingdom. When do they get judged? Well, we don't have any specific statement. The only thing left is the Great White Throne judgment. So there's a lack of information about the resurrection and judgment. They wouldn't be raised, but the judgment of that group, let's say there are believers that die during the kingdom. Could they be raised and judged at the Great White Throne judgment If not, we don't know any other place for that to happen. So the lack of information would suggest that not only are unsaved Jews and Gentiles of all ages who are not previously raised and judged, but also some believers present at this judgment. So in a sense, what I'm saying here is that the Great White Throne Judgment is a catch-all, because many of the groups have already been judged, already been raised, and already judged. So you've got, again, a catch-all. This takes care of, this wraps up the resurrection and judgment of all of those who have not been raised and judged before. So if this is true, this would allow for the resurrection of Gentiles saved before Pentecost. So you have Abel and Noah and Melchizedek and Rahab, residents of Nineveh. And we don't have any other place for them to be, for these saved people to be judged, raised and judged. Excluded believers, however, would be those people who have been raised already. So you have Jews who've been raised to enjoy the kingdom, and I take it that's in Daniel 12:2. So there, Abraham could not be a subject of the Great White Throne Judgment because he's been raised to be in the kingdom, right? He's already, in a sense, is raised and judged. Won't happen again. Church-age believers clearly will not be involved with the Great White Throne Judgment. So you see, we're whittling down the subjects of the Great White Throne Judgment. And then Jews and Gentiles martyred during the 70th week, they're raised and apparently go directly into the presence of the Lord. So they're not, Jews and Gentiles from the 70th week, they're not subject to the Great White Throne Judgment. So thinking this way, that there are many groups that have already been taken care of resurrection and judgment-wise, it's not an unreasonable position. Since saved Gentiles before Pentecost have no particular claim on enjoying the kingdom, so you've got Abel and Noah and Melchizedek. Nothing happens for them until the Great White Throne Judgment. And then you have unsaved people coming to this judgment who would be excluded because they were judged among the judgment of the nations with the sheep and goats, or at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. So, the resurrection of the Great White Throne at the Great White Throne in Revelation 20 would also include believing Gentiles who died natural deaths during the 70th week. They don't have any other resurrection mentioned, and they were not martyrs during that time. And then believing Jews and Gentiles dying during the kingdom, the only resurrection and judgment left for them is Great White Throne. And the Book of Life, why is that present? Well, it would be present in order to confirm that these groups of believers are part of the elect and not subject to condemnation. So again, it appears that Great White Throne includes believers and as well as unbelievers. So to put this another way, the Great White Throne Judgment would be the point where everyone who hasn't been raised and judged already, that's why I called it a catch-all resurrection and judgment. There have been many who will have been raised and judged already, and they wouldn't go through either one again. And so you have a rather limited set, in a sense, of human beings who are raised and judged at the great white throne judgment, whether they're elect or non-elect. An alternative to all of this is that the great white throne judgment will concern only the unsaved of all ages, unsaved Jews and Gentiles, and that the Book of Life is present only to prove that the unsaved facing judgment do not have their names in that book. So only unbelievers at the great white throne judgment. This is an alternative position. And if this is correct, then we don't have any information concerning the point of resurrection of Gentiles saved before Pentecost, Abel, Noah, Melchizedek, and we don't have any information about saved Jews and Gentiles who died during the kingdom, or living believers at the end of the kingdom. So, I think that there will be believers at that judge, raised and judged for that. Again, believers who haven't been judged already will be judged at the great white throne judgment. And unbelievers also who have not been judged by a previous judgment, resurrection and judgment. Okay, observation point number 6. Amillennialists have only one resurrection point, which comes when Jesus returns after the present age and carries out the great white throne judgment. There are no separate judgments. So the judgment seat of Christ, well, that's for believers of all ages, for the amillennialist. This is all because two reasons. The amillennialist sees, first of all, the amillennialist sees one people of God throughout the ages. God is doing one thing. He's saving one people. Israel morphs into the church. The church is in the Old Testament. It's all one people. So you would not have, for the amillennialist, two or more judgments. You only have one judgment. Secondly, there is no kingdom. The next thing that is going to happen in human history, in biblical history, for the amillennialist, is Jesus comes at the second advent. And then he judges everyone. It's the great white throne judgment. It's Daniel 12:2. And it's judgment of Christians during this age, because Jesus' return is at the end of the church age, but it's all one age for the amillennialists. No separate resurrection points for different groups, only for the saved of all ages and the unsaved of all ages at that time. Again, the judgment seat of Christ for the amillennialist would be for believers of all ages, not just the church. Daniel 12:2, the sheep and goats would be the same judgment. And all of what we describe in this study as major resurrections and judgments would be collapsed into one event when Jesus returns at the end of this age, just before the new heavens and the new earth. So, there is, as we said before, the amillennialist, in order to maintain his position, must collapse many different scriptures in regard to many different things. And one is Israel versus the church. They collapse the distinctions. They collapse the distinctions of the returns of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4 described very differently from Revelation 19. The rapture of Jesus coming for the church versus Jesus coming to the earth at his second advent. They're different. The amillennialist collapses those in many other ways too. So, collapses all the judgments in keeping with the lack of distinction between Israel and the church. A seventh observation point. All, or Almost all who ever live must face judgment by God. As Hebrews 9:27 tells us, first you die, then comes judgment. For some, their judgment comes at the same time as they're being raised. So Daniel 12:2, many will awake from the dust of the earth, and they'll be judged. Resurrection, judgment, same time. So this would be true of the unsaved dead of all ages, that is, those not previously judged or raised, since they're specifically raised to face the great white throne judgment. For some groups, it's unclear where their judgment occurs. So Enoch and Elijah, is there a separate judgment for them? They went directly to be with the Lord. No resurrection. Skip resurrection. No judgment for them mentioned. Thief on the cross. Some kind of resurrection. Presumably he died the same day as Jesus did. Presumably some kind of resurrection. Is there a judgment for him? Closest parallel would be for the rapture of living Christians. Clearly no judgment. If Jesus comes 30 seconds from now, it's likely all of you will still be alive. No, you don't need a resurrection. You go directly to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. For believers during this age who die, of course, they need resurrection and then the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5. So now let's turn to the parable of the sheep and the goats. Let me see if I have enough time to do it. I'm going to stop at this point because there's quite a bit to say about the sheep and the goats, and we will cover this as well as a wrap-up of everything in the next session. Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for your word, for what it tells us in very clear ways, and what it tells us in ways that we have to do digging to understand. That's good, because that takes us more into Scripture and makes us wrestle with the details of the text. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the fact of resurrection and judgment. Thank you especially for Christians of this age, that we can look forward to being raised or going directly to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed hope of the church. Thank you for your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.